Hockey Central at noon is Hockey Central at any time you want it to be. When you subscribe to the podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand. It's never just a game. This is Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
Yes, indeed, it is Hockey Central at noon. There would have to be something special to throw a Hockey Central at noon on. And, well, Greg Brady joining me. I guess you could call this announcement special, surprising. Out of left field, Lou Lamoriello, the new general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Nobody saw that coming.
I think it's, by the way, people were very upset Kevin Barker couldn't make his Hockey Central debut today.
Yeah, okay. Well,
that day is coming.
Oh, by the way, I'm just going to tell you, now that Barker isn't here, you can turn the simultaneous translation thing off in your TV. Okay, we're only doing it in one language.
Yeah,
today.
Closed captioning. You got to hit CC2, not CC1. Hi, Kevin. Listen, I don't think the plan changes. The name's a really intriguing one. The name shocks you, shocks me, shocks a lot of people. But I don't think this is the Leafs front office car taking a strong left turn or a strong right turn. I think they're picking up Lou on the way, and he's what they weren't having before. But for anyone who's thinking he's, you know, this is a shot at what Mark Hunter can or can't do or Kyle Dubas can or can't do, I don't think that's the case. Yeah. And I still would believe, as you might not, but every hockey decision is still going to run through Brendan Shanahan. He's either making them or they all have to filter up through him.
Yeah, and I would also urge people to remember that Mike Babcock is essentially here for the rest of his life. I mean, that's...
Lou Lamoriello can't trade Dion Phaneuf. He can't
exactly.
He can't fire Mike Babcock. But it's a... I like fascinating rooms. I like a lot of diverse opinions. And people have pointed out to me already through text, through Twitter... It'd be great to be a fly on the wall when they are deciding who to cut, who not to, who to seek out in a trade, who to move on from, who to move off from. Because you have three ex-OHL GMs within the last year and a half. The guy from Saginaw, Jim Palafoto, is still there or just got there. So you've got Dubas, Palafoto, Hunter, and you've got now, you know, the crown jewel, really, of accomplishments for NHL general managers. You could throw Ken Holland in there, of course. And that's, you know, it's probably a good day for the Devils, too. Ray Shiro steps in as general manager a year after being out of work, as essentially being paid by Pittsburgh. And whether he'd ever admit it or not, would he want Lou kind of hanging around and peeking over his shoulder? Maybe Lou is willing to cede some authority in being shuttled upstairs by the New Jersey Devils and their ownership. But then again, maybe not. Guys like that, he's got his hands more in the mix now than he would have in New Jersey. But I almost feel like it would have been insulting to give Lou a title of, you know, assistant to the assistant GM.
Special advisor or whatever.
Yeah, so they kind of had to give him this title, but I don't know if his voice is going to be any more vocal than Kyle Dubas or any more vocal than Mark Hunter.
And we had Ken Danico on my show, and Danico made the point about, you know, he was surprised. I mean, he'd heard rumblings, but when you sit down and think about it, you know, he said in some ways it was probably time for the Devils to turn the page as well. And I think when you bring Ray Shiro in, I think you're kind of indicating that you want to go in a different direction. And I mean, I'm like you. I think it's great. If you've got five strong opinions in the room, now the test is going to be Brendan Shanahan's ability to manage the room.
Yeah.
But based on some of the moves Brendan Shanahan's made, I feel a lot better about Brendan Shanahan managing a room of four or five different personalities than I did a year ago. I mean, I'll be flat out. I'll credit Brendan Shanahan. This is culture change.
You can have too many voices, and it won't work unless there is a very strong authoritative voice, and that's still Brendan Shanahan. You've written in newspapers. How'd you like to have three sports editors? One's too many sometimes.
And you
don't want the features editor wandering by and going, hey, sports editor, why don't you do this? Yeah. This can happen in radio and TV. You can have too many cooks in the kitchen, but as long as everybody knows who the boss is and it's still Brendan Shanahan, I don't see the problem with adding another diverse opinion, another experienced opinion. People have used the word contacts and say, well, Lou's got the contacts. Everybody knows how to phone everybody. Everybody knows how to email everybody, but he does have relationships. And it's something that I'm sure those are building for Kyle Dubas. Those are building for Mark Hunter. If you're anywhere in the CHL, you know every NHL general manager, but you don't know some as well as others, because whether, you know, one of your players got drafted there. So So Ken Holland or, you know, or Ron or Doug Wilson is going to be checking in on you and how that guy's doing more frequently. Well, Lou just knows everybody, and that's helpful also.
We will have Brendan Shanahan's news conference at 2 o'clock on Sportsnet, 590 The Fan and Sportsnet Ontario. Before we do that, let's see what Don Cherry thinks about this. Don Cherry joins Greg Brady and Jeff Blair on Hockey Central at noon. Mr. Cherry, thank you so much for doing this.
Hey, thanks for doing it, guys. Hey, listen, they've got a winner here in this guy. I mean, he's always been competitive. When you think about it, he's doing it on a shoestring there, and he's going against New York Rangers and Washington, and he's always a winner up there. So you imagine what he's going to do with Toronto when the money's unlimited. So he'll think he's died and gone to heaven and say, don't worry about the money.
Don, you've got Mike Babcock, Brendan Shanahan, Lou Lamoriello, Mark Hunter. You got a lot of personalities in one room. How do you think that's going to work out? There's a lot of Stanley Cups there. There's a lot of rings. There's a lot of opinions.
Well, the thing is, you got to leave Hunter alone to be the draft. I mean, you can't. That's the number one. You can't be sticking your nose in there because that's what they are, and he's the best at it. And although his later drafts, I'm not too happy, but he's the guy. I think that Shanahan, as you've seen, he's kept in the background. He hasn't made as much as he can. And Lou is the guy. I mean, I think that he'll listen to Lou. I mean, let's face it, the guy has always been there. I mean, and I remember one year he drafted four guys from Ontario, so he's okay in my book. He's a Stanley Cup winner. And if I remember, he had something like 13,100 seasons. Point season. So, I mean, and you know, here's the funny thing. Everybody says that his team plays boring defensive hockey. If you take a look over the year, they had as many shots as anybody else. What they did, they played good, sound hockey. But I'll tell you one thing. He's a guy that doesn't like to see goals scored on him. And I know Marty had a lot to do with it, but I tell you, he's coached. I mean, he was coached. I remember, and I think it was 2005, 2006, he coached and he put them in first place, so you're not going to fool him on anything. So I think it's the best guy they could have got.
It's Don Cherry joining us, Jeff Blair and Greg Brady here, as Lou Lamoriello will get introduced as Maple Leafs general manager at 2 o'clock today. We'll carry live Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360. They haven't done quite as well, Don. I mean, they made it to the Stanley Cup Finals in 12, but they've missed the playoffs a few times, a lot of early first-round exits. It feels like Lou has struggled at times, or is this just a guy who it's tough when your Hall of Famers leave. The Hall of Famers, Scott Stevens, Scott Niedermeyer's, Martin Brodeur's, they're really tough to replace, aren't they?
Well, you know, I think in my personal opinion, and I like Marty Brodeur, don't get me wrong, but I think he showed a little too much loyalty to Marty. I mean, he won all those cups and the Olympics and all that stuff and everything, and I used to watch the games, and I suppose I'll get in trouble with Marty, but he let in a lot of goals, and I think he stuck with Marty a little too long. And that's what, one of the things happened. And when Scott, he lost a lot of guys. And like I say, you know, you're in that market where New York Rangers is. It's a pretty tough market. But lately, yes. But it wasn't his. I really don't believe it's his fault. It was he didn't have the players. That's all. You don't have the players, there's not much you can do about it.
Don Cherry joining Greg Brady and Jeff Blair on Hockey Central at noon. You know Mike Babcock. At some point, you know, there are decisions that are going to have to be made, Don, about stuff that's actually going on in the room or on the ice. And you know, again, big personalities here. Do you think Mike knew, or do you think Brendan would have had to tell Mike when they were talking originally that, hey, one of the things we have going is we may bring Lou Lamoriello over? Like, you just don't drop this on your head coach you just signed basically to a lifetime contract, do you?
Oh, there's no question about it. I mean, especially a guy like Babcock. I mean, this guy, he doesn't, when it comes to on the ice and stuff like that, he doesn't take orders from anybody. I remember at the Olympics, they said, well, you have to take these two guys. He said, okay, take them. I just won't play them. And that's the way he is. He didn't play them. So you're not going to tell him anything, how to coach or anything like that. This has got to be a guy that Shanahan said he's going out and get the best coach. He went out and got the best coach. He says, I'm going out and get the best scout. There's nobody any better than Mark Hunter, because I used to see him out 9:30 at night, 10 o'clock at night. He works at it. And the best general manager available. I mean, how could you get, if you go on the resume, how could you get a better guy than him? I mean, he's been down the road. He's a coach. He coached college hockey. He scouted. Look at the guys he's got. And besides that, I think he likes guys from Ontario. So I'm enthused about it when I hear that. Anyhow, I'll be keeping an eye on him on the draft, too. But him and Mark, I mean, if Mark goes in and talks it over with him, and here's a guy that's won all those cups and everything like that, you got to listen to him, too.
Maybe it's also, I'd bet you, Don, it's also good for Ray Shero as well. I mentioned to Jeff, Lou's got such a dynamic, iconic presence in New Jersey. For Ray Shero to do his job in New Jersey now, it's like our business, right? Johnny Carson leaves the Tonight Show. Jay Leno doesn't want to see Johnny wandering the hallways. And it's like that with college football coaches. Guys who build iconic programs sometimes are still in the building, and it doesn't help the new guy get too adjusted, you know?
No, because when he makes a move, right away they say, well, Lou wouldn't have made that move.
Right.
Or he's making a move, he's looking over, he doesn't mean to look over his shoulder, but when he's hanging around, no, he's the happiest guy in the world to get Lou out of there. Not that he's a personality that, but when you have a guy like him hanging around and you're trying to do your job, everybody's thinking, well, Lou wouldn't do that. So, no, it's good. And I remember when I was coach, I went over there a few times and I saw him and Pat Burns, and when you hire a guy, I remember the great relationship those two guys had. It was like, it was beautiful. So, yeah, he's worked with guys like Pat Burns who have, you know, let's face it, Pat Burns is like Babcock. They're their own man in that. So if you can work with Pat Burns, and he was Coach of the Year, you remember that you can work with anybody. And Pat, he reminded me of Babcock. He's his own man, marches to his own drum.
Don, they have Mike Babcock here, Lou Lamoriello here, Phil Kessel's gone. We've talked a lot about culture change in the Maple Leafs dressing room. This is I wouldn't say shockingly different team than it was last year, but are you surprised even, Don, at just how different the culture is around this team right now than at the end of the year? Did you think Brendan could pull this off?
No, I didn't think he could get all these guys. I really didn't. I call him a fine broth of a lad, and every time, and I did give him heck when he fined Wyszynski of that all that money and everything. So we were, but no, and he's. I never thought he'd get every. To get Babcock, I mean, you got to do some fast talk because I guess the guy in Buffalo was throwing money around pretty good. And you know, you get Lou. I mean, think about going in and talking to Lou Lamoriello. He's an American. And you're having him coming, it's got to be some pretty good smooth talking there. And for a guy that's kept in the background, the stat guy seems to be doing all the talking. But no, I really didn't. I really believe they're going to keep Phaneuf too. Babcock's going to work with him because if you remember, he was trying to get him in Detroit. So I think he'll straighten out Phaneuf. Kessel had to go. I don't know whether I would have got rid of him or not, 31, but to change the culture, he had to go, and and he's changed the culture. There's no doubt about that. I don't know. They're going to be fighting for the playoffs again. Let's not face it. They're not going to be. This isn't home free. This is off the ice. This is not it's not on the ice. So they'll be fighting for a playoff spot. But boy, he sure. I've never seen an organization change so many things for the better. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I mean, that's the one thing about fighting for the playoffs is they'll have to decide how badly they want it. I think we're going to debate a lot in September, October, whether this team is designed to compete or whether some teams just kind of take their foot off the gas for a year or two, Don. I mean, we can't argue that's sort of what the Sabres did, and yet they missed out on Ekblad and missed out on McDavid. But I think they're a better team than they were 3 years ago because they got bad.
Oh, yeah, and not only that, they signed a good goaltender. I really gave it to the general Matty Murray there for getting the way they got treated, Nolan and that. But I got to admit, you better be better in that division because they're going to be better in that division too. So with all the moves and Lou and Babcock and Hunter and all that there, that's all right to do it off the ice. But now they got to do it on the ice, and they will eventually. I mean, you really, I hate to say it, you really have to work to, the word is this up. And I like the way Shanahan's done it. I really do. I think I think the money they're spending, I don't think any other club could spend the money that off the ice that they're spending, and Toronto can do it. And why not? I mean, why not? They got the money. You can't spend it on the ice. Let's spend it and get the best guys off the ice. It makes sense.
There's no salary cap in the front office, is there, Don?
It better not be. are all in trouble.
Grapes, listen, we appreciate you joining us today, as always. Been a real treat guys. To talk to you. Thank you, man.
Okay, guys. Toodaloo.
Don Cherry. That's right. There is no salary cap in the
front
office, thank God.
No.
How do you think Lou Lamoriello, old school hockey guy, I'm not talking about his age, old school hockey guy, Greg, how do you think he's going to fit in with the analytics, the quote-unquote analytics guys?
It's something that I think the Devils were trying to embrace. They had done some more research into that from what I'd seen, and yet shots against were a major problem, and that's the problem. Everyone says, you know, it's sort of like was that perception of Randy Carlyle, great defensive head coach, and you get here, and admittedly, Don said it, it's sort of chicken and egg. Lou can only do what he can with the players he has, but he picks the players. He drafts the players, and they've had a lot of swings and misses in first and second round picks in the last 7-8 years. They outside of finding Adam Henrique out of Windsor in the third round, they really haven't had a guy in the first three rounds come in, and they were hoping it'd be Adam Larson. They were hoping there were a couple other names that they that were going to. Matt Corrente was a first round draft pick that never panned out from this area. So I think that matters to him a fair bit. I think he'll be able to embrace that a little bit. I find, the old school thing is really interesting because I was going to joke with Don. This move came about 8 months too late for David Clarkson because it would have been hard.
Yes.
You can see David Nonis. It was probably one of the worst professional days of his Leafs career, having to explain why he had to trade David Clarkson for a player who will never play NHL hockey again. That would have been really hard for Lou Lamoriello to do, who basically plucked David Clarkson undrafted out of Kitchener, sat him on the team. He was kind of hired as a fourth line goon. And then next thing you know, 3 years later, bam, he's scoring 30 goals.
Yeah. And the other thing with Lou as well, you know, let's be careful about when we start throwing around old school hockey guys, because a lot of stuff that's new is old, right? I mean, the analytics, there's a lot of new, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of new aspects to it, but some of it is just a different name on kind of logic, kind of stuff that guys may have known or may have thought 20 years ago, but they just didn't give it a name.
No, it's sort of like dump and chase. You hear that all the time. Some teams had preached that in the past, and now dump and chase is considered a turnover. You're giving the puck, you're coming to center, you're giving the puck to the other team and letting them possess it. You don't want to do that anymore. And I'm sure Lou's been able to embrace that. Don's also right about Berdur. I mean, they didn't. The Corey Schneider thing was interesting. We see that in the NFL a little bit, and I thought about that with Brett Favre on the weekend. Like when is the right time to say to an iconic figure, a guy that you can never repay in terms of what he's done for the franchise, your time's up. It's time to move on with new blood. And the Favre to Rodgers transition had its ugliness to it. Berdur to anybody was going to have its ugliness to it. They go trade for Corey Schneider. And I think even Pete DeBoer, their head coach then, San Jose's head coach now, kind of wishes he played Corey Schneider an extra 15 games. He let Marty carry the ball too much in his last full season.
I wonder, and we may know this, we should know this more today. There will be a news conference at 2:00. Brendan Shanahan and Lou Lamoriello. Greg, I wonder if Lou Lamoriello would have left New Jersey for, I don't want to say any job, but yeah, basically for any job. Was he? Do you think he would have hung around with Ray Shiro there, or do you think he really had his head turned by this?
Yeah, I know. I wonder. I was thinking that too. Would there been another of 28 NHL teams offer, for lack of a better term, a 72-year-old man the general manager's job? I mean, we hate to bring the age up, but guess what? We do it with Kyle Dubas. So we're discriminating, saying he's not ready. He's 28 years old. You've seen it with young GMs in baseball, right? Your Ben Charringtons, your Theo Epstein's. Are they the guy who was in Tampa, Friedman, that's in LA now?
Andrew Friedman, are they old enough to be general manager?
And it's like if you're smart, you're smart. If you're innovative, you're innovative. You know, it's, I was going to say again, it's like that in our business. Sometimes guys get jobs when they're younger. And they feel weird about it, and they apply against jobs for writing jobs, radio, TV jobs, and they're 15 years younger. And guess what? There's just more of a forward-thinking direction sometimes. I still think Lou has some incredible value to put inside a front office, but I also think people are a bit misguided thinking Brendan Shanahan he doesn't want the hockey decisions, and he's going to let Lou make them. I think this is just Brendan adding another, like I said, another guy to the ride, another guy to the car.
Let's see what Doug McLean has to say about this. Doug McLean of Sportsnet joining us on Hockey Central at Noon, special Lou Lamoriello edition.
Do you like the new Hockey Central at Noon staff, Doug, first of all? Ray reviews so far.
I like the inexperience and the experience combined in one, maturity of one. And
hey.
And, you know, I think it's a little bit like the Leafs front office, so I think it's I think it's a nice combination.
Well, only there's two people here, not seven.
Yeah,
but yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
What do you make of this, Doug?
Well, look, I think, you know, I've been saying all along, I'd like to see them get somebody with some NHL experience in their front office. And I think they accomplished that today. So, you know, Brendan Shanahan, you know, yeah, he's played and yeah, he worked in the NHL office for a couple of years, but no NHL experience as far as running a franchise. Kyle Dubas certainly doesn't have any experience. Mark Hunter did a nice job in junior over a period of time, but no NHL experience. And Babcock has never made a trade. So, you know, I think the fact that they bring in a real experienced guy, albeit at the end of his career, and a guy that's, you know, probably, you know, short term, I like it. I think, you know, he's a three-time Stanley Cup winner. No debating the job he did in New Jersey. From a manager's point of view, although, you know, you question the last few years with the Riders and the Yagers and some of the, you know, the acquisitions he brought in to try to stay afloat in Jersey, and they were slipping underwater. But still, I like it. I think it's good. I think it's smart. I think it's the guy that can mentor these guys with no experience. And like, I've been shaking my head at people have been raving about these signings they made this summer, and I've been just shaking my head thinking, like, seriously, who's making the decision on these guys are going to get, oh, they're all excited because they're going to get third round picks for them in the spring. Big deal. So, you know, I like it. I think it's a good move, and, you know, good for Brendan for realizing he needed somebody with some experience.
Is it, Doug McClain's joining us on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet 360. Is it a bad day for either Mark Hunter or Kyle Dubas, or no? Were they hoping to ascend somehow to one in his 50s and one in his 20s? Were either of them hoping that they'd be the next GM?
Well, I think it should be a good day for both of them. And I said it the day, you know, when Ray Shero went to Jersey, Ray has still got lots to learn as a GM. Yeah, he's won a Stanley Cup when he was given an unbelievable opportunity, maybe the best opportunity anybody's been ever given to be a GM in the NHL, to take for the Pittsburgh Penguins when he took them over. And, you know, still he could learn lots from a guy like Lou Lamoriello. So I would think that if those guys with their, you know, very little NHL experience would say, well, this is a great opportunity for me to learn. And, you know, and same for Babcock. Like, you know, Babcock, you know, let's be honest here. He had little or no say in what went on player personnel-wise in Detroit because Kenny Holland made the call. Sure, he would have been briefed on it, but he wouldn't have had a real say, you know. So I think this is good for all of them. I think it's good for all of them that with their limited experience to learn from a guy like this. And for a guy like Dubas, it's a chance for him to be around one of the best ever in the business. For Mark, a chance for him to be around one of the best ever in the business. And for a guy like Babcock to feel comfortable that the people making his personnel calls have experience. I don't know how you can not say it's a solid short-term move.
Doug,
and Lou's a young 73.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Doug, and let's not kid ourselves. Lou was pushed aside in Jersey.
Yep.
No way.
Upstairs. Okay.
I mean, the new owners wanted Ray. The new owners interviewed Ray. And there was no question that Ray was the guy in charge. And for Lou, to me, this is a great way to end your career.
You know, Doug, you've been in a room where hockey decisions have to be made. You've got a lot of voices in here right now. And again, we'll need to see who's, you know, where the lines are here. But this is a lot of voices. Is there a concern in your part that perhaps you might, the Leafs might find themselves in a position where, you know, it's almost paralysis by analysis, five different people weighing in on a topic? Or do you think Brendan's got, he's figured out sort of where the lines are here and who, you know, who's going to have the say in which particular situation arises?
You know, I kept saying all along, like, you can't have a five-headed monster and expect to run a team efficiently and effectively. And people say, oh, no, this is a great way to do it. We've got the analytics side and we got the junior guy and we got, you know, I'm like, come off it. You need one guy to be the boss. And Lou will take information from all of them. And if Brendan's smart, which we all think he is, Brendan will defer to Lou and when he gets the input from all these other guys. But You know, you can't have guys with no NHL experience making major personnel decisions. It's like guys, the coach over the next number of years is going to be important for the Leafs. But let's be honest, this is a monumental rebuilding task. And the guy, they need one guy to be in charge. Use the Hunters with their experience in scouting. Use Dubas with his analytics. Use all the information, but they need a boss. They need one guy that's got experience, and now I really believe they've got that guy.
But I don't,
and short term or not, and it's a great way for them to learn.
I don't think, and I wondered if you agree, Lou can't push an agenda to speed things up. This is Brendan's plan. No. He'll lay it out, and he'll say, listen, we're probably not going to be very good. When Mike Babcock used the word pain, that resonated with every Maple Leaf fan, and that is the plan. The plan may not be to be 30th, Doug, but it's not to compete for things for at least the next couple of years.
And Lou's a smart enough guy that he sees that. I mean, Lou went through it in Jersey and was lucky and smart that he ended up with some Niedermeyers and Stevens and on and on and on and on with some great people there through the scouting of David Conte and on and on. But, you know, to speed it up, no, I think it's to manage the process is what I couldn't, you know, I mean, for me to have a guy in that can manage the process is really important. Brendan Shanahan can't manage a rebuild. He's never been involved in it. Babcock can't manage a rebuild. Dubas can't, and Hunter can't. They're great, good people. They're all good people, but you need somebody to be the boss. And hopefully Brendan is going to let Lou be the boss until one of these other guys or somebody else is ready to take over and to be the new boss. And I think it's smart. I like it.
Doug, we're going to let you run. The golf course beckons, does it not?
This really screws up my day. Information.
Well, I mean, you know, you're not the only one.
Relaxing lunch, play another nine, and then I get this
information.
Yes. You don't want to call.
I think it's a good day for Leaf fans. I've been waiting for it to happen for a few months, to be quite honest. So, good on them.
All righty, Doug. Thanks for doing this.
See, can they do some of the signings over again, or are they stuck with him?
Relax. Which one do you hate the most?
Yeah, that's a good point. Okay, which one? You've thrown this out there. Which one do you hate?
I signed Komarov for 4 years last year. I mean,
you go rid of the one thing you do, you try to do in this business is when you move somebody, you don't bring them back. That's one rule in the NHL. And another one, I don't know where Arcabella fits in, but I guess he fits in somewhere. But that's fine. They're fine.
You just trade Daniel Winnick again in 2 years, I suppose.
I can't believe somebody will pay a second round pick for him again, but maybe somebody. Will.
Cody Franzen will probably get signed later today by the Leafs. It's just how it's going to go.
Great. Thank you, Doug.
See ya.
Doug McLean of Sportsnet. Of course, the man I think a lot of people want to hear from is Mike Babcock. And Mike Babcock did an interview today with NHL.com with Dan Rose, and I'll briefly fill you in on what he said. Lou has been about winning. Lou is a guy who has pushed himself to get better every single day. I think a senior management guy joining our team, understanding what the vision of what the plan is a home run for all of us. He calls it a home run for Mike Babcock.
He went third person.
He went third person.
That's really meaningful. Mike Babcock does that with Mike Babcock sometimes.
Does Mike Babcock do that? Really?
Mike Babcock goes Mike Babcock sometimes. Yeah.
Mike Babcock that's wants okay. to be the best Mike Babcock can be at times.
I think so.
To bring in a guy like Lou, that gives those guys, being Dubas, Hunter, and Pridham, someone to talk to, someone to mentor them, someone to ask, hey, Lou, you've been through this 100 times. What do you think, Babcock said? You have an experienced guy who's still passionate and still fired up about it and still wants to work. That's Lou. He loves hockey. That's kind of a cute line. Again, this is Mike Babcock talking to Dan Rosen. Every coach I've ever talked to about Lou, and most of them have been fired by him, love him. I talked to Pete DeBoer the other day about him. He raves about him. Lou has got a way of doing things, but Lou is a smart, smart guy. And just like all of us who are in the pursuit of knowledge and the pursuit of winning, we're sure willing to adjust to somebody who has a better idea. So there you go. Mike Babcock, thumbs up to the movie.
And more,
probably
and
not a surprise.
What I think people have made this comparison to is, who else was 72 when they took over running the Leafs on sort of a temporary
Cliff
basis?
Fletcher.
Was Cliff Fletcher 7 summers ago. And people kind of cringed.
Yeah.
at some of the moves. And maybe at that point, that's the first post-Matt Sundin year. People obviously, you know, don't have great memories of moving Alex Steen and Carlo Koliakov at the time. It wasn't amounted much to stay healthy. Mm-hmm. For Lee Stempniak and trading for guys like Ryan Holwig and getting very little for Brian McCabe, a banged up Mike Van Ryn when McCabe was an asset. So there's, but I don't think that's what this is. And the front office is so much more fleshed out.
Sure.
Cliff, it just felt like Cliff was doing all of that himself.
Yeah.
In the summer of 08. He brought back Curtis Joseph, which was a popular move when Cujo was right on his last legs and he got to finish his career as a Leaf. So that was, I suppose, a popular move with the fan base. The rest of them really weren't at the end of the day.
Mike Babcock also saying that Brendan Shanahan has assured him that the plan and the vision for the team has not changed. Sometimes speed,
we're not a cup contender this
sometimes
year.
Sometimes speed gets in the way of the process. This is Mike Babcock. I want to reiterate that with everybody that in my opinion, I came here for a run that may take a bit of time to get the run started, but a run with real good players and a real good team. In other words, Mike Babcock saying, don't expect the Stanley Cup ring this year. Not yet. Maybe next year.
It's still funny, like, talking about the team, and I don't know whether that... Lou was a really patient devil. You would just identify guys and say, that guy's a New Jersey devil. Mm-hmm. We did on Brady Walker yesterday, we did a... Richard Jefferson, this was the genesis of the NBA player, signed a one-year deal with the Cavs, and we were almost like, that guy's still in the league?
Right.
And he's 35. And my guy yesterday, I tried to come up with an NHL guy, and I'm like, Dana Zubris, who was in Montreal and Philadelphia as a youngster...
Yeah.
But he's played the last 8 years with the Devils. Who knows that except
exactly.
Hardcore hockey fans? But whether it's been Travis Zajac or Ken Danico, who you had on, guys stay loyal. Guys often take less. And Lou's kind of loyal in return. He's been one of, we just said it with Brodeur, he's been one of the most loyal. Now, if he can't sign you, yes, you're history. You're out of there. He even came back around to make sure he re-signed Ilya Kovalchuk when he had all sorts of other UFA suitors. But I still find it kind of funny, and I don't know how, we haven't talked a lot of Leafs on our show, and I don't think you have on your show in the last couple of weeks. It's just, it's a dead time. But I think, are they really basically bringing back almost virtually the same core, except for Phil Kessel?
Except for Phil,
like,
yeah.
I just, this doesn't feel right yet that you're going to have Bozaks and Loopels, and it looks like Kadri is safe,
but I think
and Polak and Robita. I can't believe all those guys are back.
We're probably on the same side in that. I don't have an issue with Phaneuf coming back because I want to see what Babcock can do with Phaneuf. I truly do. I think there's a guy that could really profit from having Mike Babcock as a coach. But you're right. I just don't see the rest of the kind of the core coming.
Yeah, so
back.
I don't know if that changes with Lou the rest of the summer. That's going, hey, these three guys have to go. Yeah. I've seen enough. You'll listen to me on this one, and we need to trade these guys regardless of the value back. I don't know if that's going to transpire over the next 2 months. Don't know.
Again, Lou Lamoriello is the new general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs. News conference at 2:00 on Sportsnet 590, The Fan and Sportsnet Ontario. We'll take a break. We'll come back. This is Hockey Central at noon. On Sportsnet 590 and Sportsnet 360.
That little speaker on your phone doesn't stand a chance. Subscribe to the Brady and Walker podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. Now, more Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
That's Hockey Central at noon music, isn't it?
Yeah, I feel like I'm in my car. I'm usually here. I was in my car in a previous life, and then now I'm here when Hockey Central is running. And you're finishing Baseball Central thinking, wow, we killed it.
Yeah.
And then Barker was great. That happens from day to day.
Every now and then. Yeah. Every now and then.
That's right.
It is the Lou Lamoriello edition of Hockey Central at noon. Jeff Blair and Greg Brady. Brady and Walker just around the corner. At 1:00 on Sportsnet 590, The Fan of Sportsnet 360, and at 2:00, Brendan Shanahan's news conference on Sportsnet 590, The Fan of Sportsnet Ontario. Yeah.
How bad have things gone if Lou coaches again?
You know what?
Because he only did.
Honest to God.
He was coaching in the Winter Classic a year and a half ago.
I got to find this tweet. Somebody sent out, just after the announcement that Lou was taking over, somebody said, it was the conversation you want to be in on Lou Lamoriello firing Mike Babcock. Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. That's the weird thing about this, isn't it? Just the fact that, again, looming over all this is the fact that you've essentially committed to Mike Babcock for the life of this front office. You know, that's the thing is really odd, is regardless of who comes in and what job description they're given, at the end of the day, Greg, Mike Babcock can go, I'm here for a while, you know?
I'm sure I've been in this business every year he's done it. He's done it three times, including this year, the latest, with Pete DeBoer being fired. And then he steps behind the bench with Scott Stevens and Adam Oates. But he fired Robbie Fatorik, right?
Right.
And then he fired Claude Julien with 79 games played in the season.
That's right. Three games left in the regular.
Like what's the latest you can remember a baseball manager ever getting fired and then being in the postseason?
Oh,
like
man.
Like sometimes there's mutinies and insurrections, and in the last week you get rid of somebody. But I mean, you're playoff bound, and you're like, the guy we've had here for 6 months ain't the guy I am, and the GM steps behind the bench again, and an older coach GM.
I wonder what that says about how Lou Lamoriello views coaches. Because, you know, one of the things about this front office that, and you've covered a lot of sports and a lot of different teams, you kind of have an idea of how the GM views the role of the coach or the role of the manager. You get that idea from Ken Holland. You get that idea from Alex Anthopoulos. You certainly got it from J.P. Ricciardi, whose idea was, I can find some guy down on the pub who can manage.
That's right, yeah.
I wonder what Lou Lamoriello's idea of a coach is and a coach's responsibility.
Yeah, I should mention he didn't fire Fatorik, but he did fire Larry Robinson. Just quit about a week before
Robinson
Christmas.
Quit. Yeah,
1 year, and just said I don't want anything to do with it anymore. And he basically disappeared from hockey for two or three years before resurfacing in San Jose, and Lamoriello took it over. But then hired Claude Julien in the offseason. Then he's like, no, that's not the guy. And Claude Julien, obviously, Claude Julien's been fired by the Habs. Alain Vigneault's been fired by the Habs, and they're probably two of the five or six most well regarded head coaches. Yeah, I don't. And that's the thing. People think we're getting old Lou now from 10, 12 years ago, and I just don't think we will or are. Although having Doug McClain on, he says Lou will make some calls, run them up the flagpole to Brendan Shanahan, and if it meets with the plan, maybe Lou's idea gets green lit and rubber stamped, and Lou can do more than we're thinking than we were thinking off the top of the show.
And Ken Danico made the point that he doesn't necessarily think Lou's viewing this as kind of a nice way to slip into his dotage. One thing we should mention: John Shannon of Sportsnet reported this, that the Leafs will send compensation to the Devils, a second or third round pick. John's hearing.
Is it based? It's based on Leafs performance.
You know what? I have no idea, because I think this is just about the stupidest thing. Don't you think the idea of compensation for? I mean, essentially, the Devils are going to get a draft pick because a guy they kind of really sort of didn't want around has left.
Especially in a non-hands-on position.
Exactly.
You're not.
It's one thing if you're hiring a guy who's a coach, right?
Yeah, it's not quite the same as you're not getting a broadcaster, but you are getting somebody who should, by all, for all intents and purposes, have nothing to do with player transactions anymore, I suppose.
Right.
So, you know, it's not like, it's not like the Devils are getting Micah Villas for John Farrell or anything like that.
Ooh.
We're not talking a player.
No, I find that.
I wonder which Leafs player the Devils would want for Lou Lamoriello. But
there's a good call topic. Let's throw it up. No.
Loophole for Lamoriello.
Lamoriello.
You like this trade? You got to get rid of it. The contract comes off the Leafs' books, and you don't have to worry about Lamoriello's.
This has got to be, and Shannon talked about this. He said the league will probably address it. It does have to be addressed, though, doesn't it? This whole notion of compensation is, to me, just kind of, it's ludicrous.
Well,
you should be able to, again, unless I'm going and pilfering your coach by quadrupling his salary or something like that.
That was talked about a little bit, right? With when there was talk about Leafs, but long before Randy Carlyle even finished that that 13-14 season, when they had the slow death march and lost 12 out of 14.
Right.
But there was talk about the Leafs. You know, would you make a trade to acquire Mike Babcock? We all knew Babcock was coming into a contract year. Mm-hmm. We had a feeling, some of us on the station did, that he wouldn't be back in Detroit. But then the question was, is it only Toronto? Is it only dollar signs? Is it like what motivates Mike Babcock, and how many suitors were there'll be? It turns out I had people I trusted tell me it's Detroit or it's Toronto. And I'd be saying this on the air, and that made sense. But then a lot of other teams, Buffalo included, obviously climbed into the mix pretty late and made great offers to him.
Greg, you know Babcock. You know what his relationship was like with Ken Holland. Is there any lessons to be taken from that relationship with Ken Holland, looking ahead to a relationship with Lou Lamoriello? Again, understanding that Brendan Shanahan, there was no Brendan Shanahan above Ken Holland.
I think there was a lot of give and take where Ken Holland would cede, if you will, some power to Mike Babcock. If Babcock really wanted to sign his player, there are guys in Detroit known as Babcock players. He wanted Dan Cleary on that team. They invited him to camp. He beat out Rem Murray. Remember Rem Murray from the Edmonton Oilers? He barely beat Rem Murray out for a roster spot, but then Cleary clicked, started playing minutes, started contributing, and reinvigorated his career. His career was dead when he tried out for Detroit. Mm-hmm. He wanted Stephen Weiss really badly. Mike Babcock did. Now, there's one where Ken Holland maybe, knowing Weiss had been hurt with the wrist injury the year before, could have asked around a little more. But I do wonder if Mike Babcock can get players. Like now and then you're going to say, I want to do this. Let's take, I love the writer, editor, analogy. Mm-hmm. You could pitch an idea and they'll give you the idea. It makes sense. It'll be good. You'll get to do what you want. It'll be a great read in the paper, on the web, whatever. And sometimes the editor will just say no. So yeah. Sometimes the editor will say that's not practical. I think that's the relationship Mike Babcock had in Detroit, where it just wasn't. You remember how Brian Burke always described it. I pick the players, Ron Wilson or whomever, Randy Carlisle, plays in the way he wants. I never believe it's that simplistic.
No, I don't.
I never believe Brian Burke when he said that it's just that Brian Burke wouldn't say, if Ron Wilson stuck Luke Shen in the press box for 10 straight games, I can't believe Brian Burke wouldn't say, what are you doing? I've told everybody there's our future, and you'd rather play a 30-year-old average vet instead of a 19-year-old kid. What are you doing? I never believe it's that simplistic.
Yeah, and we've made this point. You've got a lot of personalities in here, and Greg, there are going to be allegiances. Sort of just allegiances you normally get. The guy that you can send a text to and say, do you believe the crap that...
Yeah, but the good thing here is, Jeff, I don't think Shanahan will hesitate if... And it just probably won't happen because everybody's going to be a pro. I don't think Lamoriello is going to start getting power hungry, and management really does need to speak with one unified voice. And to me, that still has to be Brendan Shanahan. So if you hear it, to me, if you hear Lou Lamoriello saying it, I'm going to, and today, let alone at 2:00, I'm going to believe that it's either not quite a directive from Brendan Shanahan, but Brendan Shanahan agrees with it. Lou can't say, hey, I know what we've had discussed here, but I think this team's ready to compete right away. Well, that's totally in contradiction to what Mike Babcock said and what Brendan Shanahan said and what Kyle Dubas has told you or Mark Hunter has told you or me or what. Mm-hmm. It's totally in contradiction to it. So I don't see a development like that happening. But I also think Brendan Shanahan's not going to feel any sense of loyalty to Lou Lamoriello. Hey, thanks for being part of the organization that drafted me. Anybody would have drafted Brendan Shanahan second behind Pierre Turgeon. And Lamoriello gave him another chance as well, very late in his career. And it's where Brendan wanted to be. It does. We mentioned the loyalty thing with Lou. I think it's a big deal. Now, he hasn't been terribly loyal to coaches. We just pointed that out. But players, he uses the family word. And you and I probably roll our eyes and get cynical when teams talk about being families, because it's a business, man, and it's get what you
but
can.
You know,
and
Greg, there's got to be a reason guys stayed in New Jersey.
For less than market value.
For less than market value.
Totally.
There's got to be a reason guys decided to re-up there.
And when did Scott Niedermayer finally leave? When he had a chance to play with his brother in Anaheim, right? Go live closer to Vancouver to his parents and play with his brother Rob in Anaheim and compete there. There's not too many occasions an elite player steps, unless it's for money. Zach Parise leaves after going to the Stanley Cup final because guess what? The Devils just aren't going to be able to step up financially like the Minnesota Wild did. And there you go. And a lot of people would say, why not trade Parise? Well, I would have said it at the time too. He's going to leave. You're going to get nothing. Devils went to the Stanley Cup final that year. You have to go to the Stanley Cup final with Zach Parise instead of getting, a first and two prospects for him.
Quite a day in Toronto. Lou Lamoriello is general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs. News conference to be held at 2:00 on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. It's Sportsnet Ontario. Now all we need to do is figure out who's going to replace Tim Lewicki. There's still another layer to go there. Greg, people have suggested that maybe, we just got him in here, but very quickly, people have suggested that maybe Brendan gets that job, that maybe there's some sort of a process at work there. Do you think this has
It just doesn't
impact?
Feel like he wants to. He seemed really way more private than I've ever seen Brendan. I covered him as a player too for quite a few years, and he was the guy you could count on for a quote. He'd make the time. He'd drive to the TV station and do the interview with the talking head on TV. He's been a lot. He's been like Prince during his heyday here. He's or Greta Garbo. I mean, he's just very, very private. Crosses all generations there. So I don't know. I know. Hey, listen. Tomorrow at noon, it'll be less of this and more of Scott Kazmir versus R.A. Dickey recap.
Scott Kazmir and R.A. Dickey recap, indeed. Brady and Walker's next. 2:00. Brendan Shanahan's news conference. Lou Lamoriello. Thanks for doing this. Brady
Thanks, Jeff.
Walker,
anytime.
Everyone. Take care.